You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We got a couple of things here. First and foremost, we got to cancel, reschedule our happy hour on the 29th. A vandal broke into the upper level of K Bonita and started a fire. Thank God it did not, nothing ruined product or anything like that. Or the sprinkler only kind of went on in one place. So. Sure. But it did knock out her power for a couple of days, and she wants to kind of reset, so she doesn't. So she'll be hopefully back in business next week, and then we're gonna. She wants to reschedule the party, which is fine, and hopefully maybe we'll just do our Christmas party this year at her place, which would be great because we'll have a good time together. But you can actually do quality shopping on with real stuff, right?
Yeah, totally.
Instead of you guys going to Walmart and Target and buying stuff that's still sitting on a ship someplace off of
Long
Beach.
Right, it's not going to be there anyway.
Yeah. I feel like, and that's Rocco. Rocco's Little Chicago. Hello.
Oh, morning.
Ron Arenas is still here from Pitch Rocks. And so I'm a guy who takes his Christmas lighting seriously, okay? So I'm just telling you, you should be doing your assessment of what you have right now and buy early. Because there is a great chance that stuff is going to be off the shelves
right.
and empty by Thanksgiving.
So yeah. the whole quarter of Target that's usually Christmas lights may not be stocked this year is what you're saying.
I'm just saying I don't know what the I know there's like a first wave that's there. I don't know what the second or third wave is going to look like.
Sure. Fair enough, man.
So I'm just saying. And then all of you that say we want that down-home Christmas without Chinese-made crap. Well, you got your dream come true.
Right. You'll have candles on your tree like back in the day.
That's old school, baby. Yeah. We're going old school. Thank you to the Biden administration for taking us back to Walnut Grove times on how we're going to light up our Christmas tree. Rocco, how's construction going first and foremost?
Oh,
we're getting there?
It's swell, yeah. there, the side of my street is all access to Rocco's is at Treat, which is the old Zamam's turn-in. So you got to come through that way. And you can't come from the north on Treat unless you have, if you're bold, you might be able to get around on the dirt track and stuff. So it's a dirt road, but we have...
So Treat is now dirt all the way to 6th?
No. It's just that intersection there. It's
Okay.
They're doing some digging right in the middle of it. So.
Okay.
But... we have a surprising amount of customers coming. It's amazing. But they're supposed to be paving my side of the road in the next week or two.
Nice.
So, fingers crossed. And all the curbs are poured, So that's a good sign. And they keep driving the big squishy truck back and forth on the dirt and wetting it down. I think they're compacting it and grading it to the right level. So you may see blacktop on that side. And then they're going to flip the lanes eventually and I'll be on the operative side of the street, so that'll be...
We're
looking for an increase in business.
Mr. Fancy Pants being on the right side of the street.
Yeah, how about that? Eventually, for the first time.
You have built your, as we say, serve your neighborhood that you've done it over the last 20 plus years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's even through all the craziness of the last 19 months.
Absolutely, man.
You've kind of proven, it's proven out for you.
We're the neighborhood pizzeria. We're the only business open on the north side of Broadway besides Chase Bank.
Right.
Between downtown and Country Club Road.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, what's going on the culinary side of Rocco's?
Let's see. I brought the pizza of the month today. It's the It's Greek to Me pizza, which is kind of a feta cheese and stuff. It has our sweet peppers that we put on our Italian beef on there. And I even finished it with some Jordanian za'atar on top just for fun. And I think it's pretty good.
And it is. It's delicious.
What's a za'atar?
Za'atar is...
I know, but I want to explain.
Za'atar, if you say... If za'atar, the spice, is a relative of thyme, it's kind of a wild thyme, oregano, something in the mint family. But the za'atar you buy is a mix of toasted sesame and maybe some sumac in there and stuff, and the thyme and stuff like that. It's a sprinkle that you put on some stuff, and it's fantastic. There's several varieties of it. I like the Jordanian one.
And this is very nice, especially on the thin crust pizza.
I like it, man.
That's a winner.
And I brought a cheesesteak today. We're attempting the cheesesteak thing, and that's our special of the day.
Is this a attempted that one day you'd like to put it permanently on the menu?
No, I just had a chunk of beef I wanted to use up, so I sliced it thin instead of cooking it. And there's real Velveeta on it. I didn't want to buy a whole block of or a whole can of easy cheese, because then I would, once the special's gone, I don't know what to do with that. And I made a relish like you might get on a cheesesteak with our sweet peppers and the sport peppers that we were putting on the Chicago dogs, and it turned out pretty good, man.
Let me ask you a question. The phrase sport pepper, was it just because they were putting on hot dogs at football games or something, or what?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. I got to go to the internet now.
Yeah. I've never found a satisfying explanation for that, but they're small, not exceptionally hot peppers, but they're you know, in the pepperoncini spice level, and they're a little crisper and vinegarier than a pepperoncini, I think.
So. All right, let's get the sport peppers.
Let's see what it is. Come on.
Hot peppers, common across the U.S., basically a key element in a Chicago hot dog. Find sports
hot dog.
Sorry, hot dog. Served in jars around beef joints and restaurants in Chicago, like Vienna Beef or Bono Beef. Bona. You ever heard of Bona?
Bona? No, I haven't.
B-U-O-N-A.
Uh-huh.
Got me. But it doesn't say.
They must have sponsored the link.
it says all about them. Not really.
Yeah.
We don't know what that means. So we'll figure it out before it's all over. So anyway, let's talk about menu. Now that you've been back and you're doing dine-in and stuff like that, what are the go-tos for the average Rocco's person? What are you finding?
We're back to normal, man. Like, I'm selling boatloads of chicken wings. We're on the weekends, we're making 5 gallons of marinara every day. we're making, you know, like, you know, lots of, you know, meatball sandwiches, you know, all your stick to your ribs pizzas are going out the door and stuff. So we're back, man. We are roaring back.
Tell me about the mania of chicken wings, because a buddy of mine was at a place up in the Northwest Side, and they had the market price sticker.
Yeah.
on the menu.
Yeah, it's still, you know, I think it's what, $200 a case. It's holding steady, something like that.
How much was the case 3 years ago?
Well, I don't know, about 3 years ago when I started, I think it was like $38 a case or something like that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I did say there's specific cult that the sport pepper is probably originated because they're used as condiments on hot dogs sold at baseball
sure.
parks.
That's what I always figure too, but you know, I have nothing to back it up. So,
how's the employee world for you?
I just did my first Indeed for the last couple of years. It's a nightmare, because you just get like, it's like a shot in the dark, and you get a billion applications. You have to, you know, it's a big commitment for me to rifle through them. We had one guy who wanted management, but he had never worked anywhere but a pawn shop. And I was just like, why? But I already hired 3 people. Like,
oh,
in the last 3 days. And I got more interviews coming, and we're hoping to staff up. By the time the road's done, I'm going to have a double stack oven. I'm upgrading that. And then I'm hoping to get a bigger walk-in. We have an 8x12 slab out there with an 8x8 walk-in on it. I'm going to try to get a bigger one to keep up with capacity. You know, I'm obviously not moving anytime soon. So we're just going to, you know.
So stop asking.
I don't know what to do. As far as the Rio Nuevo deal is,
right.
Emmanuel at Zamam's and Mikey over at what's it called?
The La Rua.
Yeah, La Rua's. They've all been told exactly the same thing as me. We've had a little heart to heart that they're all gonna get $500,000, and we're all getting a property from them with quote unquote favorable leasing, and none of us has a contract. So.
Okay.
So
wow.
None of us. Nobody knows what's going on. In fact, the building that I'm supposed to move into has no access to the back, which is the only parking lot. They've paved a brand new, all the way up to the top curb, all the way across the entire complex. So I don't know how we're supposed to get to the back. I'm not getting any. I asked specifically Rio Nuevo's contacts what's going on with that about 6 weeks ago, and was not given any any response. So we're just staying where we are now for now. So.
All right. All right, let's go to break. Chris Rocco, Ron Arenas, and you, 790-2040. I have the authors of Gastro Obscura coming up at the bottom of the hour. I think it's Cecily Wong is going to be coming on, and Dylan Thuris. And really cool book, and it's got some weird stuff in it, but it's got some fun stuff in it, too. So wake up, Tucson. Cinderella, Nobody's Fool. Oh, this one. I had a few stoners that I played baseball with. This was their in the locker room before it was their pump up song. Was this one? Wake up, the great Warren DeMartini bringing us in with Stephen Piercy, Rat, off their third album, Invasion of Your Privacy.
I saw them at like KFMA Day about 10 years ago, and they were really, really, really loud. I can attest to that.
Well, they did that whole thing where they kind of broke up, and Stephen Piercy, the lead singer, is running around with his band,
right,
and all that jazz. And
their lead guitar player died, and then when I saw them, they had, as the second guitar player, they had the lead guitar player from Quiet Riot playing with them.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of like a meeting of the metal minds or something, I guess.
I remember about 3-4 summers ago, we were going to Huntington Beach to see Max, and Max goes, oh, that's the first day of the... Of the Orange County Fair. Oh, cool, right? And then I go, well, hopefully we can see Rat. I was just totally kidding because they're on that circuit, right?
Uh-huh.
And then my wife goes, oh, my gosh, I'm looking at the concert list.
Right.
Rat's the opener.
Nice.
I'm like, yes. Just the way we're at.
Rat was always one of the better. They're like one of those bar bands that like all of a sudden, like Tesla is like that too, where they're obviously a competent bar band.
Right.
Like had some good chops and stuff. And then all of a sudden they're thrown into the limelight with like a big budget for their videos. And you're just like, these guys?
Yep. You know, and that was the day, right? You know, yeah. Do the video, get the hair frizzed up as best as possible.
Right. Yeah.
Excuse me. Do it up. So good stuff. I am picking at this cheesesteak you made. It's pretty fabulous.
It's all right.
Cool. And your relish that you made is very nice. That actually kind of takes it to a little bit of a different Rocco world.
Aw. We're trying to step away from our comfort zone.
Tell me about, I saw you you put a picture up of the Pasta House place.
Oh, yeah.
Is it China Pasta?
China Pasta House.
So where's that?
It's next to U of A Liquors on... on 6th.
Okay. Oh, and that little little spot right there.
Yeah,
okay.
It's always been an Asian restaurant of some sort for the last, you know, 30 years that I can remember, 25, whenever I was.
So tell me about China Pasta House.
I wouldn't say it's hit or miss. It's mostly hit, but you might get a clunker there, but it's very inexpensive. It's almost exclusively populated by Chinese students. They have like the tea eggs there, which are fantastic, and steamed buns and various noodles. I think they're from Harbin or something, like northern China.
Okay.
And I just love it. It's like a good comfort food place.
That's what I always liked about June Dynasty, because I was only one of the few gaijin in the place.
Sure.
I was in there.
This is definitely less...
That's the Japanese term,
less flavor explosive than June Dynasty, and more like grandma food, you know?
A friend of mine who went to June Dynasty on my recommendation was trying to figure out the interior decoration, right? And they're like, it doesn't feel like it. The food was great. They loved the food, right? And I go, well, it used to be
Italian restaurant, yeah.
These guys went in, swanked up the inside.
Uh-huh.
How long did that place last?
Like minutes.
They did a hell of a tenant improvement on the inside.
Right. A lot of faux marbling on the wall surfaces and stuff.
It's just missing like a couple of those Roman statues to be like in a little alcove.
A reclining Roman statue.
While you're eating your imperial pork. And your kick-ass spicy dumplings.
Yeah. It's not one of those places with like red and jade and gold gaudiness all over the place, right?
You're literally in a... You feel like you're in a swanky strip mall 90s trattoria.
Yeah. and everything's like Tuscan somehow. Whatever that means.
Where else? Any place else you can recommend to the crew or...
Lindy's new place is opening up soon. I went to his pop-up, which was at, what's it called?
Sonoran Brunch.
Sonoran Brunch, yeah.
Yep.
And his burgers were great, man. They were fantastic. He was out there, he was busting them out, and he got his sign up the other day. I think they're almost ready to open. He just got his health inspection.
He did announce an opening.
Oh, that's right.
It's Sun. No, it's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. Cool.
And it's tomorrow.
Yeah. And the it's different from his not to be named other joint venture that is not to, is now run by his mom. the burgers, instead of like the fat chunky burger, it was like two thin crispy edged burgers and stuff. Instead of the giant, you know, might be raw in the middle meatball burger. And I prefer the crispy burgers anyway.
I do too. Yeah. Thunder Bacon Burger starts tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Awesome.
So, and he's in the old Beeline spot.
Yep. And he's, and from every, all the chefs that, you know, I'm concerned about him signing a lease on Fourth Avenue and stuff, but according to Travis over at the Parish, who's talked to him a lot about it, who's getting ready to open downtown pretty soon, he's like, man, Lindy's hungry. He's gonna kill it.
He's hungry.
He's really worked on this. He's cleaned his act up and he's dialed it in. And he actually hit the lease at a good spot, so he's going to be able to pay the rent. So everybody go help him pay the rent over there, man.
Again, it's just the idea that there's that Fourth Avenue thing you got to deal with, you know.
Boy, I'm glad I'm not part of that.
All right, we got a minute. Anything in the Originals world? We haven't talked Originals in a while.
Monday is our board retreat, so we're going to have
board retreat.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do. You know, we've had some hiccups with COVID, and we haven't had a meeting in person until this week. So we're doing it right now. So I'm excited what's going to happen this year.
Now, board retreats used to be you went out someplace and you had a board meeting kind of thing, and you kind of brainstormed.
Yeah.
Board retreats, I see lots of places, instead of a 2-hour meeting, it's a 7-hour meeting in the same spot.
Yeah. Actually, we're going to Cora Lee's house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In her lovely urban setting.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I have some limoncello I made from her lemons to bring her. So hopefully she's appreciative of that.
You never know. RoccosLittleChicago.com.
All right. See you guys.
PictureRockSchooling.com. Rock, the cheesesteak's a winner, man.
Yay.
Great
job. Get it, everybody.
All right. Gastro Obscura author Cecily Wong coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right, that's for Rocco. A little The Darkness. Right when he gets off in the air, that was his choice. A little The Darkness. Also loved by our boy Max. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. We're continuing on. For 11 years, we've been doing these Food Fridays and, of course, focusing on the local food scene here in Tucson. We got to go right to the phones, and hopefully it's Cecily on the line. Cecily, good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Not too bad. We've had you guys on before in the Atlas Obscuro world, so we're foodies on the show. So when I saw there was a food adventurer's guide written by you and Dylan, I was an automatic yes to get you on the show. So welcome to the Wake Up Tucson show.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Tell me about Cecily's journey to get to write the food adventurer's guide about the entire planet.
I know. It's been quite the endeavor. It's been 4 years. We've been working on this for a long time. And it's Dylan and I, but we also have, you know, we have a whole Gastro Obscura team that's been helping us behind the scenes. And then we have, you know, you're familiar with Atlas Obscura. We have a lot of users around the world who write in and give us tips about foods we should check out. So we got a lot of stuff from that too.
So, when you guys start doing this for the first time, how do you guys mentally break it down on how to, you know, put it all together, and then you got to prioritize? So what was the criteria for prioritizing what you talked about and included in the book?
Sure. So we just moved continent by continent, and within those continents, we went country by country. We tried to just, you know, kind of fill it systematically, and we were mainly looking for stories. We're focusing on foods with really incredible histories or stories behind them. And then just wacky things, eccentric foods, things that people are doing with foods, festivals, histories. And so we started there, and we did kind of a full pass of the world, and then we'd come back, look in the holes, try and fill the gaps, reach out to people we knew in different countries. And we pieced it together.
Give me one or two of your favorite spots in the world that you discovered through doing this book, and that experience.
Sure. So there's a marathon in France, in the Medoc wine region. It is called the Marathon du Medoc.
I just love that there's a food experience in France that has a marathon, but
exactly. Well, it's a very, I don't know if we'd call it a French marathon, but it could only happen in France in that you stop 23 times to drink wine. You have 23 glasses of wine along the marathon. Then you stop to eat foie gras, you eat oysters, you have some ice cream, and you're running through, you know, vineyards, chateaus, there's lakes, like it's really gorgeous and people are wearing costumes. But it's, you know, it is 23 glasses of wine is no joke, especially over 26 miles.
Ay, Chihuahua. I have a friend of mine who's a hotelier, but he's from France, and he always talks about how sometimes the French can be difficult. He says he has a great line. He goes, "We have 314 different kinds of cheeses. Trust me, we're a pain in the butt." So, so I'm looking. I looked through the book for, you know, I got to do a little home team action here. Whenever the next edition is, you got to come see us because we got to do better in Arizona than the Organ Stop Pizza in Mesa. I know it's got the cool organ.
It does. It has the cool organ. Well, tell me, what should be in the book?
You should go see Don Guetta, who basically uses this. He uses these more older, ancient, original grains at a place called Barrio Bread. That's where I would start off first. And he's literally brought back. What were you going to say, Cecily?
I think that might be on the website.
Ah, excellent. So anyway.
Which is great, yeah.
So you guys got to come out to Tucson. We got a variety of things to share with you that the organ's cute, but we got to do better than that. Just got to be a snob that way.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, I would love to. that's you know, it's not the organ. The Organ Stop is not exactly about the pizza. It's more about the organ. So I absolutely believe that there are better things to eat in Arizona.
Let's talk about how does this. I mean, to me, you've already laid out a groundwork for the most kick butt TV show humanly possible. When do you guys do a TV show on this? I mean, of all the bad shows about food out there, I mean, you guys have written the.
I know.
You got 12 seasons here.
I think so, at least. I mean, as soon as they sign me up to, you know, host it and travel to all these places, I think we're ready to do it.
PBS is swimming with money. We got to hook you guys up with PBS. You could be the Rick Steves of food. That's what I would do.
Challenge accepted. I'm ready and down to do it.
I love it. Let's talk
Tucson
about
Tucson will be our first stop.
You better believe it. I like some of your surprising facts. So it's funny. So you say Norway has the highest per capita pizza consumption, and it's really funny you say that. So when I watch some of these shows from Scandinavia that are filmed in Scandinavia, they all do seem like they're having pizza. So you verified something just for me watching Scandinavian television shows.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, they eat the most pizza per capita in the world. It's not something anyone would guess. They eat 50 million pizzas every year. And the craziest side of this fact is that 47 million of them are frozen. And so they're eating mostly frozen pizza. They have a deep, deep love for frozen pizza. The classic Norwegian pizza it's tomato sauce, Jarlsberg cheese, and paprika. And then you add extra cheese and bake it. And then when it comes out, you drizzle it with ketchup.
That does, you know, I have my feeling of Scandinavian hygge, and that's just not the picture. That's just not the picture I'm seeing, Cecily.
Not for you. Yeah, no, the ketchup has not been getting great reactions, but, you know, to each their own.
And then I do like this one of your fun facts. The Soviets paid Pepsi in warships in 1989. Please explain that story, because I think that's fascinating.
They did. You know, classic Americans. Pepsi really wanted to enter this untapped market. There was no Pepsi in the Soviet Union, but they couldn't get paid in rubles. They were kind of worthless outside of the Soviet Union. And so they had to barter. And so Pepsi gave them Pepsi, and in return we got warships. We became the middleman for all these warships that we sold, and that's how Pepsi got paid.
Now, I like in the story, originally, what did they originally trade for? Is it actually even funner?
Vodka.
So they were trading Pepsi for Stoli.
Yes, they were. They were, which is actually, that seems like a more fair trade. You're right.
So for people who get this book, Cecily, and the book, of course, is Gastro Obscura. I'm sure you can get it at the evil empire of Amazon and fine bookstores, as we like to say. What do you want people to get out of this thing?
It's honestly, it's just a lot of fun. There's, you dip in and out. There's something kind of, you know, eccentric and wild on every single page. And I hope that, I hope that you gain a bunch of wacky food knowledge that you can share, at your next dinner party, and also have a huge list of places you want to go as soon as we're allowed to go again.
You know, when I was looking at your bio, I noticed you're more of a novelist.
I am primarily a novelist.
So how did the novelist get sucked into this thing?
So I'm exactly, I write fiction, but I grew up in a food family. My parents own restaurants. I'm a very enthusiastic eater. I travel for pretty much the sheer purpose of eating. And so when they launched Gastro Obscura, you know, that was my interest, but they were also looking to do kind of a more narrative, side of food. They wanted to look at the stories and the histories. And so I was kind of, an interesting choice, but it all worked out. And, we're just kind of approaching food through a novelist's eyes. So lots and lots of good stories in this book.
What's the next project?
I have a novel coming out next summer. It's called Kaleidoscope. It's a family story. It's about sisterhood and ambition and self-knowledge that takes you around the world. There's lots of food. It's different from this book, but I hope equally good.
So people who come on this show who are from Tucson, we always ask them, even if it has nothing to do with food as their profession, we always ask them their favorite two locally owned restaurants. So I see you're a Portland girl, so give me the two best locally owned restaurants for Cecily Wong if we come visit Portland.
Oh, this one's tough. Okay, I'm going to go with Grind with Tries, which is it's a plate lunch restaurant, Hawaiian plate lunch.
Oh, okay.
Really, really excellent. Line around the block every single day.
Very nice. And what's the go-to for you there?
I eat the pokey, which is the, and then I eat everything. They have an amazing garlic shrimp. They have Korean short ribs. They
Beautiful.
Have meat jeon, which is also a Korean dish. Yeah, it's fantastic.
And what's number two?
And then there's a food cart called Bing Me. And it's Chinese Bing, Jian Bing, and it's kind of this crepe type, this huge crepe that they fold up. There's an egg, there's lots of sauces, lots of herbs. You can put duck in it, and they wrap it up. It's a street food from China. It's the best version that I've had stateside. It's fantastic.
Wow. I'm going to have to figure out how to make that at home. That just sounds amazing.
If you figure out how to make that at home, I will be very impressed.
I will let you know. Oh, well, congratulations on the book. I've been reading it off and on since it was sent to me the last couple of weeks, and it's a fun read, man, and you will learn a lot, and you always learn a lot through people's food, and again, we're going to have you come back for second edition. You tell me when you're ready to come to Tucson, and we will introduce you to everything you need to do for second edition.
I will let you know. I will hit you up as soon as we are renovating the book.
Awesome. All right. Well, congratulations. Nice talking to you, Cecily.
Thanks so much. You too.
You take care. Cecily Wong, novelist and co-author of Gastro Obscura, A Food Adventurer's Guide. I have a handsome, strapping young lad in his pink Sun Street baseball cap right now. Golf cap, so excuse me. And we're going to be talking to Patrick Sneezek coming up with our real estate mortgage report coming up. Top of the hour, Sean McCluskey from Rincon Ventures is going to sit in for an hour. And I'm sure Sean's, he's got to be fired up by about, I don't know, 1 to 17 things. Hey, we're still taking your matching contributions. We had a listener donate $1,000 to say that they were going to match the first $1,000 towards the No on 206 campaign, which of course is the horrible minimum wage thing that is going to continue to crush Tucson, which really doesn't deserve any more crushing, but some of these folks want it to happen. So go to no206.org to contribute. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. We're doing a little hair bands today for our bump music. So a little White Lion, Wait. Second song, if you really want to get really tender, is called When the Children Cry. When the children cry. Welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. We have our good friend Pat Sneezik, Sun Street Mortgage. Take the street that leads you home.
Love it.
How are you doing,
happy,
buddy?
Happy Friday, gentlemen.
You don't have your signature mug today.
No.
You have that awesome Sun Street mug. It's got the coffee beans on the bottom and everything.
Yeah, no, that's in the dishwasher.
That's
this
good.
Morning.
That's good.
Good place for it.
I got my new one. Yeah. My level of sarcasm depends on your level of stupidity,
that's
mug.
That's pretty good.
I think I resemble that remark.
Speaks directly to the mayor. I can say that. Y'all can't.
That's Sean McCluskey. Crazy. Right on Ventures.
Yeah.
Hey, I like Pat's hat. Yeah. I got to get me one of those.
Well, I'll get you one. You know,
but I want that color.
Breast cancer awareness.
Absolutely.
So we stepped up for all of our employees, my partner John Kapp and I, and bought pink golf shirts and Nike golf hats, and you know, get a screening. Don't wait.
So we just had our friends from Radiology Limited that are screaming that from the rooftops right now.
Oh yeah.
You gave me one of those hats.
I did.
My problem is I have a head the size of a pumpkin.
Oh.
So if it's not...
Well, I should have known that.
So the reason I wear these ones with the American flag on, it's from a company called Army Crew, and they're actually extra large to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah, those, it's a good brand.
Because I tried to put your beautiful hat on, and it looks like, I don't know if you remember Damon Wayans, Tuan, he had that little hat on his head in Living Color. I look like Tuan in that thing. So
that's crazy.
What's the real estate report looking like? Are things kind of leveling out a little bit, just as crazy? What are you saying?
I don't know if it's leveling out. It's probably somewhat just as nuts.
Smoking hot, smoldering, but people are getting accepted.
This is true. You know, I've got a few numbers. September, 1,500 deals closed. You know, they put 1,745 contracts in escrow. What's interesting is the time on the market is starting to go up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's interesting. And the higher the price range you go, the longer it is, the lower the price range. But there's still, you know, like if you're in the 175, I'm looking here, 175 to 250 range, you know.
You're hoping and praying you can find something.
Yeah, he's right. You know, you're 2 weeks on the market. Wow. And it's probably a lot of bidding going on.
And there's 10 people looking at that house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
And that's where the affordability for a lot of people is. And everybody wants to get in. And you can't blame them.
How about a percentage of cash deals to... People get mad.
I don't know. I'd have to inquire, but my loan officers are screaming. It's a fair amount.
Yeah.
More than it's ever been.
Right.
You know, like a few months over the summer, I probably would have told you a third at least
was cash.
Easy.
Yeah.
Now, here's the fun part. Most of the people coming in, I was going to talk about this later, but Pat, you're here perfectly right here. Yeah. Illinois, Colorado, mm-hmm. New Mexico, and California. That's where the people are coming from.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. It's a good mix of Republican and Democrat. They're not your typical. They're not your typical liberal Tucson Democrat. So these folks might come back and take purple and make it red again. Who knows?
Switch some things around.
Yeah. You
know? But he's right. Yeah. So, you know, rates, don't panic. You know, man, I was just talking. They're not going to 5 today. You know, they're still in the low 3s. Yeah. You know, you media people. You blow everything out of whack.
So it's really interesting, right? Because part of you says, well, we got inflation going on.
Oh, sure.
Right? And usually one of the methods to deal with inflation would be talking about interest rates.
Yes.
But then you have all these other bizarre factors going on with the economy that we've been talking about.
Right.
Employees not working, supply chain crap, all of this stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of moving parts that manipulate the rate, but, you know, low 3%, pretty good.
Right.
It's not 8, it's not 16. Shut up and buy the damn house.
No, it's not 16. Oh, man.
So last time, I'm glad you guys are here. We can have our renewal of this discussion.
Okay.
Getting appraisals done. How's that?
Oh, God. Do we have to go there?
Sorry.
They've been giving more appraisal waivers than ever.
This is true. There are, you know, I think the appraiser's life in this industry is... Not long.
So when you say appraisal
world.
Waiver, the buyer
No, the banks.
No,
oh, the banks.
The investors, the agencies. Yeah,
the bank behind the banks that are, or the money behind the financing are just saying, you know what, we like the amount of money they're putting down. We're good with it. We'll take the loan. We'll take the risk. And you're putting down 10-15% and they're going to waive the appraisal because they know in this market the appreciation value is going to offset the risk to the bank.
He's right. You know, the Freddie Fannie on the government, they've got every stat on every home in America. So they know by zip code, they know where the areas are strong and where they're weak. And but he's right. We're getting a lot of PIWs.
Let's talk about this. Yeah. What about the 50-year Fannie coming out? 50-year mortgage.
Yeah.
Are you killing me?
I was killing you, or kidding you? I was here when the 40-year. I was here when the 40-year mortgage came out. Not a lot of people took it.
No, but it's going to take that $300,000 house and make it affordable for that first-time homebuyer, which is just stupid.
It's going to have to stretch it out.
It's like the car dealers want you to do the 96-month loan.
Yeah.
All right, just, hold that thought. We're going to bring you both back. Can you do one more segment with us, Patrick?
Sure, sure, love to.
All right, I want to continue on with 50-year mortgages.
Hey.
Streetmortgage.com, RVRTO.com, DeSimoneHQ.com. It's all of our websites if you want to find us.
Yes.
We'll be right back. We've got top of the hour news, some of our great sponsors, and I want to just continue this conversation about real estate mortgage stuff for another segment, and then we'll get Sean riled up on something. The great Peyton's here today.
I've got a couple of things. We'll talk about Las Vegas. We'll talk about Marana.
Oh, there you
go. We'll talk about Lindy opening up and what a stellar feat that is and what he had to go through. And we'll talk about Mayor Ed.
Wow, this is gonna be a good one?
Oh, absolutely. I have lunch with him every Sunday.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Dreams
can come true.
Not bad.
All right. Pat Sneezek, Sun Street Mortgage, Sean McCluskey, Rincon Ventures, Chris DeSimone.
Cool.
Notorious ESQ spinning the wax. It's hair bands day. So he's gonna start growing his hair out for Kelly, I think, before it's all over. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 the voice.